Alma chapter 4. Again, when we're reading the Book of Mormon and studying it, we really need to remember that this Book of Mormon is written to us. These words have been picked for us. They're not for the people of their day. The only reason they're talking about their day is for us to have some real sense of what it is that that we're to do and see the real follies of their error and see the benefit and blessings we receive when we follow the Lord, and it might be real to us. Again, I need to stress that we need to remember that this is written to us and try and relate things to our day. And so when I'm doing a commentary, many of the things that I'll say have to do with our day, not directly with their day. But I do think there's a great similitude there. In verses 1 and 2, we see that their afflictions are great. People have trampled over their crops, wrecked their land, wrecked their houses. There's been death. Their families have been broken up, and the threat of war is over their head. And with these great afflictions, in verse 3, we find that they do believe that these are the judgments of God. And so that's a good sign, meaning that they are beginning to see that these things in their life, that anything in their life applies to God, and especially when this happens now, that does stir them up, say, yes, this is of God. And again, today we have to ask ourselves, are the things that are the earthquakes and all and wars and problems, are they all of God, or do we think that they're of that they're just of nature and that's the way it goes? Well, anyway, their afflictions were great enough that they turn to God and they go to the church and they are baptized, and thousands of them join the church in the seventh year. But again, we have to say, did they go join the church and were they baptized because their heart had been poured out to Jesus Christ, that they did want to follow Jesus Christ and they did believe that they needed him in their daily lives, or were they just making a reaction to these wars and problems? And we see that in just the following year, in the eighth year, that pride and glory and glory and desire for riches and is all back in the church. And in fact, because I guess we could say because of some condemnation of the church leaders, they did not ensure that the people really were of a pure heart when they joined. But nonetheless, when they now come into the church, but they're not sincere in following the Lord, it begins to corrupt the church. And again, one of the big signs that are given here in the sixth verse, it says a big sign of this corruption was the wearing of costly apparel, even as today, and this desire for clothing and to show off in our clothing. Well, then it says in verses 7 and 8 that the people's hearts, were on their riches and the vain things of the world, meaning their clothes again, and the position that they have, and their careers, and how good of an athlete they are, and everything that has to do with the world, and how popular they are, instead of being on the Lord. So when they joined the church, they did not join it because their hearts were poured out to the Lord, and they wanted the Lord to control and change their lives and tell them what to do and turn their lives over to the Lord. They had just joined it because they felt they had to, in order to get away from the wars. And so it was a reaction against war. It wasn't a reaction to God. And then they begin, their ways begin to take over the church. And so therefore, those that are the humble followers of the Lord in the church, they begin to persecute them. And yes, well, how could they persecute them? What could they say? And they could say to him, well, you're jealous, and that you just want our riches. You know, if you had our riches, you'd feel the same way, but you don't have them, and this is just your way of saying that you expect us to share with you, and that's why you say that. And that God helps those who help themselves. We hear that all the time. That is not in it. There's nowhere in Scripture that says that, but they use that to persecute others, and they tell the others, well, get out and get a job in this great economy that we have built. And be part of that, and then you could have the same things we have. But no, you want to just play around with that crummy little farm you have there. And they say, well, we went out and we built up this world and this great economy, and so we know how to handle the world, so we should be also in charge of the church. And even as a day, they've completely took in charge of the church. But they then say that you need to be of the world to be in charge of the church rather than being a humble follower of God. And then they say, and so therefore, now we're more efficient. We know how to run these things because look how well we've ran the world. So you turn your substance over to us, and we will distribute it to the poor, and we'll organize the churches, our welfare programs, and everything according to the way we've done it in the world, and we'll give other men the control of it instead of but you don't want to give us the control because you're just selfish and you're the one that really doesn't want to give up your substance. Anyway, this is some idea, and we see that today. I mean, that's totally overran the church. The church has been totally overran by the world. There is no the idea or the order as shown here in the Book of Mormon is not there. And why are we writing the Book of Mormon? Because there are the members of the church that are good people and given the right direction would follow the Lord. And so he's given them the Book of Mormon. If we'll turn back to the Book of Mormon, as President Benson said, and take it seriously and believe in it, then many will become true followers of God. And this chapter is going to tell, or the next chapter, more specifically, will really tell us what it means to be a true follower of Christ. Well, in verse 10, it then says that the wickedness of the church was a great stumbling block to those who did not belong to the church, and thus the church began to fail in its progress. Again, what was the problem here? And I realize that many members of the church today do not recognize how bad it fails. That there are hundreds of people who are true followers of Christ. They study the Book of Mormon. They say, yeah, the Book of Mormon does talk about the way things are supposed to be with the Lord. But then when they go to the church, they don't see that. And that's because it's true. The church is not organized according to the way the Lord says. It is not single on the Lord. It does not labor with our own hands. It does not set up an economy and a complete government and a whole system that's of the Lord. They don't do that. Well, that's what people have a hope for, and they have a desire to be under the Lord completely and have him reign over them and be in his kingdom and have it be a literal kingdom, as explained in the Book of Mormon. Well, then when people look and they say, well, the church isn't organized like the Book of Mormon. It's organized according to the world. It's a stumbling block, and they don't want to be part of it. And again, we're just too interested in talking people in to be baptized just like they were here, and instead of being interested in bringing people unto Christ, and therefore it becomes a stumbling block to the true followers of Christ. Now it says in verse 11 that the church was actually leading the people into iniquity. And so again we say, oh, see, that's not us. See, that meant that they was leading the people to do murder and rape and drugs and stuff like that. That's not what's going on here. They weren't talking about that. They were talking about them teaching them the ways of the world. And it'll say that later on, that it taught them of their craftiness, it says, and their cunning. Well, it was the ways of the world and of money and how we put men in charge and not the Lord in charge. And we have community control of things and we give up and we take over people's freedom and tell them how to do everything. And mostly at the ways of the world and how we use craftiness and advertisement and we have lots of leisure time. We seek the leisure and our whole desires are over retirement and having a secure future based on man and everything that has to do with the world, but does not have to do with putting your eye single to the Lord and seeing that all there is in this life is preparing to meet God or preparing for the next life. Well, then they begin to turn their back on the needy. Well, what does it mean to turn them back on the needy? This is verse 12. And, well, what they're doing again, let's try and understand what that is. Again, were these people who despised the poor, meaning that they felt that they wanted to throw the poor out or cast them out? No. Well, they were just exactly like the people in Jesus' time, that they'd throw the crumbs to the people or they would give them nothing as they do today. Today, you are not members of our church, and if you're not of our church, then we don't have to help the poor. And then if you want to become a member of our church, you've got to have a job and everything, because we're not going to let you be a member of our church if all you're doing is just being a member in order to get our welfare. You see, these are the words that are said today. Again, they figure out excuses and ways not to take care of the poor. And mostly, though, they are not interested in building a kingdom where they can give an inheritance, give land, and give a place to the poor to take care of themselves. And then when it says the sick and afflicted, it wouldn't be the same as they. They don't believe in administering to the sick and afflicted and going and making them feel better and teaching them of God so they might be healed. No, they said, give us your money and we'll bring our doctors in to take care of it. If you don't have any money, then you don't get administered by the doctors. And the point is they've turned the system over to doctors and a money system for taking care of the sick and afflicted rather than it being taken care of by faith in the Lord. And then in verses 14 and 15, they begin to persecute the humble followers of the Lord. And what this simply means is they begin to gossip about them, find backbite concerning them, and find things to say about them. And again, this is that's what the real meaning of persecution is. But then it can mean they don't give them positions in the church, they don't let them teach, they push them off to the side, and these kind of things. But again, if the person will just keep his eyes single to the Lord, he'll see that these things really don't much matter. Well, in verse 16, it says that Alma then turned the government over to Nephiha and lets him have the power of the government. And notice that it does say that Nephiha had the right to enact laws, but he could only enact those laws according to them in the manner that other laws are set up for that to be done. And then we also know that includes that then the laws have to be brought before the voice of the people. Well, again, it's a lot like our Constitution. Our Constitution does allow for more laws, but it did never intended, and obviously it's not intended here by the structure that we were going to have a proliferation of laws to any extravagant degree. Mostly it was a law here and there due to the needs of some special circumstance that would arise. And then we find in verse 17 that Alma then goes among the people to begin to preach the word to them, and that's what the whole next chapter will be about. But the important point here is, does he increase government? Notice anytime there's any problems going on, the world always says, let's increase government, let's increase programs, we need some new programs. And it doesn't matter whether the church or the government. They always use that for an excuse to increase the power of man. And when they increase the power, the resource has to come from somewhere. So they oppress increase the burden on the people. And that's always the way of man. And thus the oppression continues because these things never do go away. But notice here, Alma sets the proper way and says that no, all we want to do is go out and preach the word of God, which is to go back into ourselves and each of us have an individual relationship with the Lord. So what he was really preaching is he was preaching against the proliferation of government business and church and everything that was actually going on in his day. And he says that he will pull all this down by the word of God, again, not by the power in church or government, but he will pull down their pride and their craftiness. Now I wanted to point out here again the now we get that word in verse 19, craftiness. See, this was became their sin is again an idea of craftiness is that, oh gee, because I understand how to work the stock market or real estate, then therefore I should be rich and I'll take your money and I'll make you rich. And see, everything they were doing was always based on craftiness. Why would in a Zion society would we ever have a situation where a man could make money and become rich even off of how he manipulated the land or any products or anything? That doesn't make any sense. And obviously it's a wicked practice of a degenerate society. A God society is only interested in having food and shelter to allow them to then go on and learn more of God and serve Him. They're not figuring out how they can use that to become rich, which is kind of an activity. Activity of selling insurance, which is a fraud in of itself, is the way that which all our church leaders today have gotten themselves rich and taken over the church. And then when they get into all these things, they have to have protection. So therefore they create lawyers to protect. And as we go through and look at the leadership of the church, all of these things that are totally condemned by the Lord in a Zion society, they are the ones and the type of people that have usurped the power and control of the church. In verse 20, he then preaches to the people the testimony of the word. according to the spirit of revelation and prophecy. Again, it is not the great Alma going out there and preaching to them. It is the Lord's word that He is delivering to them, that He has got to that He must receive from the Spirit that reveals to him things, plus reveals to him the things of his times, reveals to him the meaning of Scripture, and also allows him then to prophesy what's going to come of this people if they do not repent and follow the Lord. And notice who he is against. He's not against the other people. He is against. The other people at the time of Joseph Smith. It's always talking about someone else. So finally, Mormon, seeing our time, began to now talk against the church itself. And he'll do that a lot now. In fact, the Lord will continue to do that a lot throughout the Book of Mormon, talk against the church itself, because we did not, in the beginning of the Book of Mormon, want to believe that it was talking about the church. We always want to point our finger at someone else. Now again, if we believe that the Book of Mormon is written to us and it is talking about the church, this must be talking about the church today.